and our community connection brought to you this morning by First Baptist Church and by Tallgrass Motors. And in from Family Crisis and Counseling Center, I get to talk this morning with Patty Beavers and also with Melissa Ruprecht. And Patty, thanks for coming in this morning on a Friday.
Thank you very much for having us.
Patty, one of the things that you and I frequently talk about, but I think we're going to spend a little bit more time with it this morning, just protective orders as far as who qualifies, who can you get protected against, how efficiently, how does the process work, and why?
Okay. What I wanted to focus on today were about when the mom and dad come in as victims and they need a protective order. A lot of times they want to put the children on the protective order.
Makes sense.
But unless the child was also, someone attempted or caused, physical harm to them or threatened imminent physical harm or is harassing the child or stalking the child, they don't qualify to be on there. There are certain circumstances, depending on what type of violence that went on, that sometimes, allows for the children to be put on, but seldom. So for the children, they become the secondary victims because they've witnessed this over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So we do provide services for these children that witness domestic violence. And I'm going to let Melissa talk about that a little bit, but I want to go back to why we just can't put the children on.
Okay.
Sometimes it's abused by keeping them away from the parent, but it's custody. So there's a court for custody, there's a court if there's through, DHS, if there's been abuse, there's certain, courts that allow for, the children to be protected.
Simple, typically not the same type of court hearing that you would go for a protective order then. We're talking about two different areas of law.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because again, there's four situations that the child would qualify. Now, if a parent has out a gun or something, that might change whether or not they qualify to be on there. But just witnessing it, or hearing it in the other room and stuff like that, and maybe that parent has a lot of issues and doesn't need to be around the children, we still will include them on the protective order petition to take to the judge. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, the statute's the statute.
It's one of those the child shouldn't have to hear it, but as far as legally being protected by it, then
there's courts for them.
Yeah.
For that situation.
Got it.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much, and we'll get some more from you, I'm sure, before we're done. But Melissa, you're the person that gets to be the, I'll call your title at least, victim support specialist. So you're there for the victim.
Yes, I am.
Yep. And children, well, just taking Patty's situation, children that witness, children that are around, maybe even standing next to mom while mom's getting yelled at or vice versa, standing next to dad when dad's getting yelled at, then they're definitely affected by this situation.
Yes, they are. There's many ways they can be affected emotionally, behaviorally, developmentally. It all depends on the age group of each kid and each kid's personality. There's a lot of aspects that come into how they get affected. Some don't really seem to have as much of an impact as others. But
so part of it, yes, we need to know what they heard, what they saw, how that is affecting them, what symptoms they're showing, what behaviors they're experiencing or could experience based on past practice.
Yeah, that's something that the parent, the mom or the dad typically need to know is, how is this impacting my child? I actually have a class that it's called Hugs, that it focuses solely on this topic. And it goes over how children view domestic violence, how to help them heal from witnessing it. It covers like many different aspects from like young age through teenagers. There's just lots of things that it teaches them what to look for and how to help the kids cope through all this.
And so we're this is the parent, this is, I suppose, other family members that are there as that, what we look at as the support network, grandma, aunts, uncles, even neighbors to a certain extent.
Yeah. Yeah, we try to have them reach out to those supports, because the studies have shown that the stronger the support system, the more resilient and bounce back people can be.
Okay. So you have to really almost start off with a pretty in-depth interview with everybody concerned to figure out what's going on.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I get a family background from, you know, typically for the parent, it'd be from their childhood and then what's currently happening with them. With the kids, I focus mostly on, you know, what did they see, and then just other developmental, educational aspects. Like, are they struggling? You know, some of the questions that we ask is, you know, is your kid on an IEP for school? Mm-hmm. You know, that can help determine, well, maybe some of this is affecting them developmentally.
And so these are symptoms that some can appear immediately, and some can be quite a bit delayed.
Yeah. Yeah, and some of the other questions we ask is other behavioral problems, whether it's, you know, violent behavioral problems or bullying, being bullied. Mm-hmm. Those are some of the things that we need to know, because it can help us find out how to help the child. And it kind of gives us a little insight into what's really going on with them.
And so are we talking about being bullied by a family member or close associate, or this is different than just what I'll say would go on in an other school environment where it's just the school bully happened to be picking on you today?
Typically when we talk about the bully, it's more in the school aspect.
Okay.
You know, are they being bullied or are they being the bully?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things we need to know.
Yeah, and that can go either way.
Yes.
And even sometimes both. This is not just one sit down with the youngster, or for that matter, sit down with parents, or maybe even the teacher, the principal, who may be there to observe some of this stuff.
No, we sit down, you know, once we do the initial assessment, then after that, it's weekly.
Mm-hmm.
And I do sessions talking with the kid. I go over, we read books about what they've seen, or potentially what they've seen. We do activities. I have some crafts that we can put together, teach them coping skills.
Okay.
So we just go over a lot of stuff and to kind of educate and talk with the kids. Some of the other things we kind of focus on is, you know, how do you interact with other kids? Making good choices. And I know that some people think, well, that's not a part of domestic violence.
Yeah.
But it is. Because,
or at least it can be, yeah.
Yeah, because what they see at home, a lot of kids reenact at school. And, you know, they will either act like the victim at school or act like the perpetrator at school. And they don't realize what they're doing. So we need to teach them, you know, how to interact with peers as well as, you know, in any other type of relationship.
Well, to anyone, my mom and dad are normal. It's your mom and dad that's strange.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's their normal at home is what they see. That's their normal. That's what they expect everyone else's household to look like. But in reality, that's not what it will look like.
Okay, so that's a lot of homework for you, but also and for those that don't know a lot about IEP conferences, this is a mandated by law group of people that once the process starts, they have to get together and decide what's best for the youngster. So it's a complicated process.
Yeah.
AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1, again, talking, in this case, children that witness domestic violence. Tell me about your HUG class a little bit. Who comes to that? Is that the parent or the youngster or both? Or
It's actually the mom.
Okay.
Unfortunately, at this time, I don't have a curriculum with the HUGs that focuses on if dad's the victim.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking into that, seeing if I can find something. I just haven't had any luck yet.
Okay.
But I, you know, found a source that was really good that told all about it, and I made a curriculum out of it. So it just focuses on, you know, how mom can help the child heal, and it teaches mom, because mom's typically the one that's being abused.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what studies have reported.
Sure.
So therefore, we need to teach the parent, teach the mom. This is how kids view domestic violence. At their age, everything's about them, so they think everything's their fault. So we teach the parent that. We teach them the coping skills. This is what we can do to help your child heal from this abuse.
Mm-hmm.
The book also, the class also covers a little bit of the court system, but in a generic way. It's not like specifically Oklahoma laws and courts. It's a generic all around. So if they would need to ask more questions, they'd have to go to the to the law thing.
Yeah, that would refer you back to a private local attorney.
Yeah, an attorney or the courthouse or someone else that could answer those questions. But this is just generic, and it kind of talks about, like, if you're in the DHS system as well, you know, what to expect from those workers. And, you know, if they're not educated, this is how you can better interact with them, because a lot of the women that come in are connected with DHS. Their kids are either in their custody or DHS had to step in. Even if the kids aren't in foster care, the DHS is still monitoring their situation. And so it kind of teaches them, this is how to get along with your caseworker. You know, if your caseworker is not educated well in domestic violence, this is some of the things you can look for to do as well.
Okay. So really helping the individual, in most cases, the mom, navigate the system for the benefit of their youngsters.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
We're going to take a break and continue talking with the FCC folks, and we'll continue in just a moment.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
Continuing a community connection this morning, talking with Melissa Ruprecht and Patty Beavers this morning about youngsters that witness domestic violence. And it's bad enough when mom and dad argue just, you know, for good reason to have an argument, let alone when fists start flying or words get really mean. So it's a problem for youngsters because, like you said, everything is centered on them as far as they're concerned.
Yeah, and of course they learn that behavior.
And so
we need to teach the parents that they can unlearn that behavior. That's what we teach them, those skills, when they come to us, is how can your child unlearn this behavior?
And we've been reinforcing that behavior since they could understand English. Aren't you cute? Or isn't that a great thing to do? Good job. All the things that normally we would reinforce the child itself.
Yeah. So. Well, and sometimes, you know, one of the things we talk about in the class, the HUGS class, is dad undermining mom's authority. And it could be as simple as, you know, mom asked the child to do something, and dad thinks that, well, if it's a boy, well, maybe he shouldn't be doing the dishes, so ask little sister to do it. Or, you know, and he'll step up and say, well, my kid's going to go do this, and someone else can help with the dishes, or do it yourself. So he undermines the authority and then teaches the kids that he don't have to listen to mom. And even with the daughters in the same situation, sometimes they will then see that and be like, well, if he doesn't have to mind mom, neither do I. And so you kind of get this being taught to them that I don't have to listen to you because no one else listens to you.
Yeah. And that's different than what many siblings have done for decades. You know, I know mom's going to say no, so I'll ask dad.
Yeah, that's a little different than, you know, playing one parent against the other, whereas this parent's automatically in front of everybody undermining your parenting skills. Yeah. And so the class teaches, it also as well teaches the mom, you know, how dad does this, you know, how dad can the abuser can make the child, you know, one of them's like the favorite child, whereas the other one's not, and, you know, how that impacts each kid. And also kind of teaches them, you know, how can you break this cycle? What can we do?
And then that's really among the hardest things is getting things to have a different outcome.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the main goal of this class. And, out of all the classes that I've done with this curriculum, I have lots of women come back and tell me that it's really helped them.
So how does somebody get into this class? Is it voluntary? Are you assigned by the court? How does it work?
it is completely voluntary. All of our services are voluntary, whether or not the courts or DHS says they have to do it. When they come to us, they still have that choice. Do I want to do this or not? A lot of them will, you know, choose to do the classes. But the class I recommend they do first is the women's support group, because that teaches them what they need to know about domestic violence first. And then once we can get them through the healing process, then working on the child as the parent with how they see everything, and this hugs class would then be appropriate. So they need to do the women's support group first and then the hugs class.
Okay, because, mom, or I guess dad, but mom is who we're talking about this morning, has to get themselves at least mostly straight before they can help somebody else.
Yeah, you know, that you always have that saying, if you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of someone else. Well, it's very true in domestic violence, because if mom's not where she needs to be, she ain't going to be able to help the child get where they need to be, because the kids look up to their moms. And if they see, well, mom's getting help too, mom's going and doing these classes, you know, I can go do it too.
How long is the class for? Well, let's talk specifically about the hugs, and then we can back up to the support group.
If I remember correctly, it's about 15 weeks.
Okay. So basically, I'm going to say around 3 months, more or less.
3 to 4 months.
Yeah. So then the support group, which I probably say, first of all, is more ongoing than it is a specific amount of time.
Yeah, that one I have that class every Tuesday, no matter what. But people with that class, there's no set, like, you can start on week one or you can start on week 10.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't run together. But with my hugs class, you start on week one and it flows.
Mm-hmm.
But the women's support group, the actual program that each person would do would be 21 weeks.
Okay.
And once they complete all 21 weeks, then they have completed the women's support group and they can move on to another program.
Okay. So, and by the way, the services, I'm sure there's always one price for everything. Free.
Yep, free. And for these groups also, I wanted to make sure that it's clear that if a mom comes to these groups and they have a child, we have free child care.
Okay. So that's not going to be a problem for mom as far as what do I do with the rest of the family?
Nope, not a problem, because she can bring the kids.
Okay, sounds like a great deal. What else do we need to cover this morning? We've got about a couple of minutes left. I want to make sure that I get all the information about the hugs class or the support group out. Any, what have we left out here?
Well, when mom brings herself in for services, if you know, she can bring the kids in for their program,
okay,
which we have called Kids Peace Program.
Oh, okay.
And that's the one where I kind of touched on a little bit, where we teach the kids, you know, about the violence, mm-hmm. how to make good choices, talk a little bit about friendships, and that they can talk with people. We teach them coping skills. That's one of the things I focus on with the kids, is coping skills. You know, we read books and talk, and sometimes I can let them draw or mm-hmm. do other things, anything that would help them feel comfortable.
And depending on what they draw, that could help you draw other conclusions about what's going on in their life, mm-hmm. so that's important too.
Yeah. With this Kids Peace Program, I have it focused on, there's the younger kids and then there's the older kids. With the older kids, you're just typically about teenagers, when they're gonna start reaching the age where they're gonna start dating, 12-ish, 13-ish, and up. I cover more of the same curriculum I would if they were in the teen dating violence class. The only difference is they don't get all of the same curriculum, and we don't focus in on as if they're the victim. Mm-hmm. We focus in on, okay, this is what your mom experienced. We can teach coping skills on how to help them cope with that and how to prevent getting in that relationship. So the older kids are more prevention, whereas the younger kids are more healing.
All right. Patty, let me just tie a bow on this. If people would like to find out about these classes, if they just need somebody to talk to, you've got a hotline, you've got a number that people can call to register for these classes, and I think I've got it memorized, but I'm going to let you give the number.
Okay. 918-336-1188.
Yep.
They can call and say they're interested in victim services, and the call will be directed probably to Melissa, or if they just have questions, and we can treat it as a crisis call, and it'll come to myself or Stacy.
Okay, thank you very much. And of course, if people find themselves in a situation where they just need to get into your shelter right now, give you a call on that number.
Absolutely.
Okay, and that number, by the way, is 24/7. So
absolutely.
Give them a call. 918-336-1188 and Family Crisis and Counseling Center this morning on our Community Connection. 63 degrees, news on the way next from the Oklahoma News Network.
I'm Sean Carey on the Oklahoma News Network. More wild